Welcome back to another exciting episode of Legacy Matters, conversations on faith, family, and future. I'm Blake Fuller, Director of Communications at the King's Academy, and as always, I'm joined by our head of school, Jeremy Sandifer. Jeremy, how are you today?
Thanks, Blake. Doing really well. Really looking forward to today's episode and the special topic that we get the opportunity to dive into.
Absolutely, and it's an important one. Today, we're diving into the roles of athletics in a student's life, how sports can promote character development, and we have some special guests with us today, Jeremy.
We sure do, and we're really excited to have them. Today, we have Jonathan Sellers, our athletic director here at the King's Academy, along with Sean Jones, our assistant athletic director. Guys, we really appreciate you joining us this morning and looking forward to this conversation.
My pleasure. I'm excited to discuss the incredible impact athletics can have on our students.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having us. Excited to be on.
All right, guys. Well, let's just kind of just start with the basics. Coach Sellers, why are athletics so important in a student's educational journey, especially in a Christian school like the King's Academy?
Well, I think athletics is a big piece of just high school in general right now. Throughout our country, it's something that I think really helps motivate our kids to do well academically. It kind of gives them a little carrot to kind of dangle to continue to pursue excellence there. And then I think it's, you know, big too in a lot of ways. We do a good job at King's at, you know, doing more than just sports. Between devotions, different guest speakers that we bring in to talk to our guys, I think that we're really building, you know, more mature young men and women through our athletics as well.
Yeah, I think it's just a great opportunity for students to become a little bit more well-rounded, to expose and explore their personality outside of the classroom, and to be put in some pressure-filled situations and to be around some students and some coaches and some families that are a little bit different than the people that they see every day. And I think it takes a village to raise a child. And for us, we have a great village that is helping us raise up young men and women for Christ.
Those are both great points. Really appreciate you guys. As we look at that, I know, Sean, we talk a lot about our graduate profile, which one of the things we really focus on is helping students become unapologetically Christ-like. In your opinion and in experience, how do athletics really help achieving this? And can you give a couple of examples, because I know I've been a part of those with you and with both of you guys, of how we incorporate biblical worldview into what we do on the court and the field of competition?
Sure. Obviously, we start every competition or practice with prayer, and we've got devotions within our teams and things like that. But, you know, it's a great opportunity for our kids to see things like to show love to their teammates, right? And understanding that there's going to be days where they don't feel like loving their teammates, or maybe their teammates are not performing the way that they feel like they should. And there's, you've got to learn how to love them the right way to encourage them. Learning to be humble when you win, and learning to be gracious when you lose are super important. And at the same time, being able to take every single day, and regardless of the situation of who is in the room, of what has gone on throughout the day, finding a way to have an impact on the person beside you, right? To show them love, to show them Christ's love, in whatever way that is, whether that's verbal, hey, great shot, you know, good hit, whether that's physical, a fist bump, a high five, a pat on the back, whether that is spiritual, realizing that one of your teammates is going through a struggle or you know, having a hard time. A lot of times you may not see that during the school day because you're in class and you're locked in and you're taking notes or you're taking a test. At practice, sometimes those frustrations come out. It's a great opportunity for them to witness to each other and to really pour into each other's lives on a level that maybe they don't necessarily get to do within, you know, their fourth period class.
Good stuff. So you kind of hit on it, talking about, you know, character development. Sean, do you have any specific examples of, you know, working with their boys and seeing how athletics specifically has shaped students' character here at the King's Academy? And going one step further, how does character development through athletics specifically really align with our mission?
So we put our students in a lot of opportunities as captains or as they get older as seniors. You know, we give them responsibilities, whether it's leading stretches or you know, kind of being the people that the younger players and their teammates look to in the locker room or pregame or whatever that looks like. But we also, I think a lot of that leadership and those opportunities, because we are a boarding school, because we do have international students, because we have people from all over the world, you're learning to meet people where they are. You're learning to, you know, for example, Damian Shamoon comes in right before basketball season starts in the fall of 2021 and doesn't speak a ton of English and is across the world where he doesn't know anyone. And my guys did a great job of embracing him, coming in and seeing him in our families, right? Does he need somewhere to be for Thanksgiving? Is there any, does he need clothes? Does he need X, Y, Z? And our parents and families do a great job of that. But not only does that help the ones who are trying to bring these guys in and make them feel welcome, but for Damian specifically, like, that opened his eyes to, you know, what leadership can look like. And so as people welcomed him and you know, were kind to him, you know, he was a little reserved, a little standoffish at first. And then as he got comfortable, he blossomed. And he was able to, you know, the word nurturing comes to mind. You know, I can't think of a better example of someone who was nurturing relationships with teammates and people across across campus, people in the dorm, than Damian. He did a great job of, you know, taking Christ's love and regardless of background or what they had done, what they hadn't done. Right. He just went above and beyond to make people feel special and wanted and welcome. And I think that's ultimately, that's what we want to do, is we want to grow people up who are going to be great examples of who Jesus was, and his love and the way he talked with people and walked with people. And, you know, whether it's basketball, you have that specific example because I am our high school basketball coach.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of examples from football, from softball, from cheer. There's, you know, there's all kinds of stories that you hear from day to day of just how these kids are coming in as 14-year-olds and developing into men and women by the time they're seniors.
One of the things that I've loved, I'm talking as a dad right now, of specifically with basketball, one of the things that you've done is you've held basketball camps that are really led by our students, by our high school students. And I've noticed just in Grayson's life how that, him building a relationship with your Jack Townsend, your Harrison Rollins, yeah, your Damian, and just seeing our students take that leadership role, and you know, at the heartbeat of all that we do, we strive to develop servant leaders that are going to change the world for Christ, and that is truly us living out that mission through through that basketball camp, through baseball. Listen, I've had a hard time getting Grayson to love baseball because whenever he tried out for baseball, he broke his arm, and so he's had a love hate relationship with baseball.
Very tough for you,
and it's very tough for me. If you guys know me, I'm a huge baseball fan, and I would love to get Grayson out on the diamond. But about 2 months ago now, Coach Bird, he had a very similar camp, and he had the baseball boys out there kind of leading, and it's blossomed into a love of baseball for him. Just the other week, Coach Sellers, you had our elementary kiddos doing flag football, not quite the same level as the full contact football that you're used to, but hey, you were rocking it and the kids were loving football. So going into kind of our motto of faith, family, future, it's really that family atmosphere that we have here on campus where we're able to take our olders and put them in leadership roles and give them the opportunity to love on and show, like you said, that Christ love for others. And it's really a sacrificial look because, let's be honest, a high school student, most of the time, and especially in our culture, they want to be off, you know, doing their own thing, playing video games or hanging out with their friends or whatever. They don't want to necessarily be taking an hour or 2 hours out of their day to spend with, you know, a fourth grader.
Yeah, or, you know, for basketball camp, it's an all-day affair. We start at 9 and we go till 3. You know, that's a really great point. That's been one of the as far as basketball goes, that's probably my favorite time of the year to watch our guys kind of come out of their shell a little bit and grow. They're always a little uncomfortable at first. And I think where that comes from is I just remember growing up and going to basketball camp and remember how cool it was to be coached by the high school kids. And so we've tried to really emphasize with our guys, like, think about things from their perspective. Like, they love playing basketball, but they think you're the coolest person in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, and so if you'll just take the time throughout that week to shoot with them, you know, block their shot, score on them, laugh with them, you know, whatever it is, not only does that help them kind of understand the value of pouring into those who are kind of coming behind you, but it bridges the gap from, our littles down in elementary with Miss Sullivan all the way up to the high school level. And that's been really fun to see. You know, probably one of my favorite stories to tell is, I guess it was my second year. Tyler Overdorf was a student assistant with me during seventh period, I think. And we were walking around in elementary. We were having to move some tables or something like that. And we walked through fourth and fifth grade. And you'd have thought LeBron James was walking through that building because the kids were running out of classrooms because T.O. was in there. And the reason that they had that reaction is T.O. poured into them while they were at camp. You know, part of the reason that I coach, and I'm sure Coach Sellers feels the same way, is there were people that poured into us, made us feel important, showed Christ's love to us, showed us what it looked like to be a man and to grow. And I think that's a big piece of why I do what I do. And I know that's the same for him as well. And this is a good opportunity for them to kind of see that.
Like, yeah.
Be to those kids what you would have wanted a high school kid to be to you. And they've really done a good job of taking on that leadership role and embracing it. And, you know, it's a long day and it's tough and you don't really get a whole lot out of it because I'm not paying them big bucks or anything like
pizza.
That. So, yeah, some lunch and some T-shirts and, you know, but they crush it and they do a great job.
Well, and that's a great transition. And we talked a lot about what we want our students to be, and we're seeing the evidence of that, which is great. So, Sellers, tell you a little bit, how do we develop that within our coaches? You know, what are the specific ways that our coaches actively foster this type of character growth? And how do you guys, as our athletic administration, provide that support for them? Because we want to make sure that the men and women in front of our students have the ability to do exactly what we just talked about. So let's talk a little bit about on the coaching side. What does it look like to coach at the King's Academy? Because it's a lot different than if you're coaching at most any other school in the state or in the country.
Yeah, so I'll start by saying that I think we have a phenomenal group of coaches at every level. That's high school, middle school, and elementary. I think the Lord's really blessed us with some good people to be in front of our children. So we do a lot of different things. One of the things that we've started kind of doing that I really have enjoyed is being able to kind of meet with each coach, you know, each week during the season, to kind of make sure that we're staying aligned with, you know, our core values and different things. We're developing a philosophy on, you know, kind of where in the past we've kind of just done devotions and done things on different ends. We're trying to create more of a motto and kind of really follow that throughout the year as well. And then from there, just making sure that we're going above and beyond. I can tell you, you know, from the football end, I've got assistant coaches that will go pick a kid up, we'll go take him to eat. And I know that we have a bunch of coaches, you know, in different areas. I've seen Coach Bird, you know, already start doing those things with some of the baseball guys that live in the dorm. We've had coaches in the past that they've taken kids and, you know, let them stay with them for weeks at a time during breaks, just, you know, really to pour into those guys as well and show them that, you know, our relationships with our student athletes isn't just on the field. That's something that me and Sean both, you know, really try to push in our programs. And then we really try to push to our coaches. And I think they do a great job that they've got to know that we care.
Yeah.
And until they know that we care for them, they really don't care how much we know about our individual sport. And making sure that we're pouring into them in all aspects and not just into the sport that we're doing.
You guys do a wonderful job of that. I know both of you, one runs his own taxi shuttle service and is getting students to and fro. And I know Coach Jones has had several students at his house, and your sons call one of them brother. And so it's kind of cool to see that. As a dad, you know, I see my daughter is now on the middle school basketball team, which is crazy. But she came home the other day and the brothers were arguing a little bit, and she quoted Coach Dion and said, "Hey, this isn't it. We is better than me. We can't be focused on ourselves." And I'm looking at her going, "You believe that yourself, and not just on your brothers." But it was really cool to see that. And also, you know, I mean, we have a dorm student, a young lady who's kind of become our quote unquote adopted daughter. And I watched her volleyball coach pour into her. She has a full-time job. She's doing all her stuff. And then she comes in and she's not only checking on the volleyball skills, but she's focused in on how is she doing? How's her heart? How's her relationship with God? How's that math test going? And so she's really been we see what you guys are doing, and it really is very impactful on our students.
Absolutely. So we kind of talked about what we do and what we've been doing and where we've been, but let's look ahead. You guys tell us kind of what's your vision for the future of athletics at the King's Academy. How are we going to continue to use sports as a tool for character development? And maybe do you have some exciting developments that maybe our listeners can look forward to in the coming days or months?
I'm extremely excited about the future of our athletics programs. I think that I've been here since 2014, and I'd like to think each year that our athletics have grown, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. A few things that I think that we're going to try to do, you know, here in the near future is probably develop more into that elementary athletics deal. I know it's something that me, Jeremy, and Sean have all, you know, sit around and talked about now for a while, and it's something that I know Jeremy puts an emphasis on and something that we would like to do as well, just so that we're creating more of that, like, feeder aspect to our middle school programs and then our middle school programs into our high school programs. And that's some of the stuff we talked about. Coach Jones' basketball camps. We talked about Coach Burt having a basketball camp. And then what we did with the little kickoff to the flag football, you know, a couple weeks ago, I think that's a good start to getting the elementary kids excited, because up until this point, you know, a lot of those guys have went and, you know, played in different club teams or, you know, different rec teams. So hopefully we can get to a point where when you're a kindergartner, you're going to put on our TK logo and wear our colors. As far as high school athletics go in the future, I think we're doing a really good job excelling in a lot of areas. Both basketball teams had two of the best seasons that they've ever had in school history. Baseball's trending upwards. I think you're going to see some major growth in softball as well this upcoming year. And then, you know, you looked at this season as well. Volleyball just, you know, had a phenomenal season. Whereas in the last, you know, 2 years, they were really growing, developing, and kind of building those skills. And you got to see them kind of flourish on the court this year, which was great to witness. And then, obviously, soccer as well. Had a really good spring. I expect, you know, that to continue on as well. Coach Smith, I think, is going to take that group and do a really good job with them this upcoming spring and really instill some stuff in them. And then on the other end, too, I think we're really excited that hopefully by the time next fall rolls around, Coach Smith will also have a group of girls out there on the soccer field as well, which would be, you know, something that we haven't done in a long time.
Yeah, I think the elementary aspect, I think, is really exciting. And I know for Coach Sellers and for myself, like, we want to make sure that we do that correctly. We don't want to rush into it. We don't want to, you know, throw something together that's not going to be very beneficial to our families and to our kids. And it's going to be a great experience. And, you know, I really enjoyed watching, you know, the halftime the other night and all of our kids out there playing football. And, you know, thought that they did a great job of putting that together. And then, you know, he hit on elementary basketball. Marshall Stanger does a great job running our junior league. And Natasha and Laura are phenomenal with junior cheer. Yes. You know, they have so many little girls out there.
They have to rotate them in and out.
Rotate them in and out because there's so many. But they do a great job. And, you know, I think there's a lot of exciting things on the horizon from that aspect, because I think, like you said, in order for us to build, it starts in elementary, and we've got to make them want to be a part of our middle school programs and our high school programs. And that takes, you know, it takes developing those elementary sports and teams and programs, but it also takes stability and having coaches that are committed and want to be a part of our programs for long term and years to come. And we're kind of settling into that now, which has been fun to see. And I know when I started almost 4 years ago, there had been a little bit of turnover in some spots. And so, you know, for families and for students to be able to see some of the same faces, it kind of makes it easier to want to join those programs and build community and grow. So I think that's very exciting. And then obviously, you know, Coach Sellers spoke into the things that are coming on the horizon for high school, and you know, I'm just excited to watch all of us continue to try to improve in the areas that we can. I know basketball, we're constantly trying to find new ways to interact with our campus and find ways to engage those young kids. You know, we're going to do our camp night. So all of our kids that came to camp, we're going to come and recognize them, and they'll wear their camp shirts and, you know, get to see them again and hang out. And then we do Junior League night in January, which is a fun night, and we honor all of our Junior League teams and kind of
packs that place out.
It does pack it out. It's fun. It makes the environment awesome. But in doing that, it creates that sense of community. And they're looking at, you know, you mentioned Jack Townsend, Harrison Rollin, but, you know, if it's Landon or Cam Tucker or Tony Burton, they're looking at people that they know, or maybe even their siblings, and going, all right, I want to do this one day. And that's, to me, is really cool.
Yeah. One thing that you guys have done an incredible job of and has really developed over the last year, I know basketball last season was an incredible moment for our students as they got involved and started having crazy student sections.
It was awesome.
A not so silent night, which we got to figure out how to do that again, and all those things. But that carried over into football, and that carried over into volleyball. We had one of the most intimidating volleyball home courts. It was kind of entertaining. And then in another area that you guys have really focused in on is involving our parents in terms of our booster club and going out and fundraising and making it easier on our athletic teams and the focus. So we really just appreciate both of you guys. Y'all are doing an incredible job. You and your coaches. Not everybody got a shout out, but they all deserve one. So, you know, we want to just let every single person know that's listening to this. We're very thankful because we know that when our students leave the classroom and they go into the gym, they go onto the field, they're in good hands, and we're very grateful for that.
Absolutely. Well, just kind of echo Jeremy's sentiments of, you know, thank you guys so much for all that you guys are doing in your leadership roles and then as coaches as well, because there's times that it can be truly a thankless job. So I just want you to know that we love and appreciate everything that you guys are doing. But before we go, what we like to do, we like to end our podcast with something fun, different from the day's conversation. So I'm curious, if you could instantly become an expert in any field, anything at all, what would it be?
I'll go first to let them think because okay. I see them process.
There's a lot of my brain went a bunch of different directions right there.
So I want to be or would want to be a master chef. I would want to know how to be an expert at any cuisine that I so chose that I could not only bless my family with, but, you know, I love cooking, but sometimes the product doesn't necessarily come out. Well, sometimes it does. Some of you have had my food. It's good. But I would love to be an expert chef. That's a skill that I definitely admire in people when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool to see.
I went a couple different ways. That's a great one. Chef was a good one. Thought about, if you ask my wife, you know, some people are handy, you know, handymen and you know, can fix things around the house. And my wife says, he is resourceful, which is a nice way of saying that I can watch a YouTube video and get close.
All I can do is Google.
Right. So that was one thing. But I think I might want to be able to sing and play an instrument. Like, I think I would love to be able to play piano and play guitar and sing. I cannot do that. I'll save that for no time. No, no, I ever dare to sing whatsoever. But I think that would be cool. I have zero ability to do any of those things, despite how hard I've tried at times.
See, you stole mine because that was my wife tried to, she can do instruments and all that stuff, but she tried to teach me piano when we were in high school, and God bless her. I got nothing. I got like half of Mary Had a Little Lamb, and then that was it.
I can kind of pick at some things, so I can play some random songs that no one else would know. Like just like 6 seconds of a song that I figured out on the piano, or Ode to Joy. I can play Ode to Joy.
Okay.
But that is it.
Okay.
And that's enough for me.
Better than me.
Maybe that does make me an expert.
I'm excited. In Ode to Joy. All right, Sellers, you've had time to think. What you got?
So mine is probably what Sean talked about initially, which is just being like a craftsman person. I always joke with a bunch of people and my friends that growing up, if anything broke, my dad could fix it. It never failed. AC broke, he'd fix it. You know, plumbing broke, he'd find a way to fix it. And I've always joked that when I'm, you know, end up getting a house, have to do stuff, and things broke, I'm going to have to pay for it. So that's how that works. But that's probably mine.
All right. Love it. Thank you guys again for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe to Legacy Matters, conversations on faith, family, and future on your favorite podcast platform.